AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
A County Galway priest has urged people to be mindful of what they post online following deaths by suicide. Father Mark Quinn appealed to the public to avoid comments such as "he's in a better place" or "she's at peace with the angels," saying that while well-intentioned, such phrases can send harmful messages. He warned that these expressions may imply that death brings peace, which could be dangerous for those struggling with their mental health. Father Quinn said greater care and sensitivity are needed when offering condolences, reminding people that thoughtful language can help protect those who might be vulnerable while still showing compassion to the bereaved. So how can we grieve the loss of a loved one? And are we better off to stay away from social media in this instance, or even just the right words to use around the whole topic? He warned the expressions may imply that death brings peace, which, you know, certainly created an interesting conversation for us here today on the team. And it could be dangerous for those struggling with their mental health, is what he said. So greater care and sensitivity needed. Counselling psychologist and lecturer in TU Dublin, Leslie Shoemaker, is on the line. Leslie, do we need to be more careful with our language in this particular instance, do you think?
I think around bereavement in general, we need to be careful about what we're saying, but especially around suicide. Because when somebody dies by suicide, the people they leave behind, it's a complicated type of grief. You know, a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different emotions. It's not uncommon for those who are left behind to blame themselves and wonder, could I have done something differently? Did I miss something? Did I cause this? And the answer to that is absolutely no. Nobody ever causes a suicide. So what the priest, this gentleman, is saying is really spot on. And I do think we need to be very mindful.
Yeah, he said, in the space of just 1 week, 7 days, I attended the funerals and burials of three middle-aged men. Each one of those men had died by suicide. I know you may mean well, but it gives the impression that this is a permanent option. This permanent option is a noble way out, some kind of a happy ending, he said. What do you think about that? Chris Sherlock, are you there with us?
I am, yes.
Hi, Chris. Did you hear the words I just read out by Father Mark Quinn?
I did, yes. So honestly, he's right and he's wrong. You know, the ultimate question is, how does people actually deal with, you know, sympathizing and offering condolences after someone has taken their life as a result of suicide? It's heartbreaking, and people, you know, it's one of those grey areas. But nevertheless, I was in that scenario myself. I was contemplating suicide, and I know that, you know, I'm not going to look to a church. I'm not going to look to anything. I was in a dark place, and they're the very last things you think about. And as terrible as it is to say, you don't even think about, you know, the consequences of the act if you're thinking about it, because you just think that it is the way out, and you feel that there is no other option. So that would be, you know, it's devastating, but it's there is light at the end of the tunnel. So to a degree, I do agree with the priest, but it's more of like, you know, getting the help. And that's why talking to someone like Leslie, or I would be more inclined to go, you know, take a breath and say, look, this is bad now, and this is how I dealt with it, is that this is really, really bad now, and I have no way out. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm suffocating mentally, but it's just, you know, how do I go about it? And sometimes that, you know, waiting for to talk to somebody is a long wait, with other things that I won't go into. But it's if you're going to do the act and you're committed and you see no other option, it's going to happen. And unfortunately for the families, you know, well, what can you say other than, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss? And I think that's the way it's always going to be.
I think that's where we go instantly, isn't it? We're so sorry for the situation and for any family's loss. But finding the right words around it, because it does, you know, you say you've been in that dark place and you don't necessarily think about the fallout, because I know I've certainly been at funerals myself, Chris, and you can't help but think, did they think about the family? Did they think about the grief and the loss and the sadness that they leave behind after those actions? But as you say, you can't see the wood from the trees if you're in that situation.
No, like I can paint you a slight picture here where it's like, imagine a very, very large, dark room and that there's no light in the room and you're at the very corner and you're sitting down, it's crunched up in that corner, and all you see in the very top right is a very small light and a picture, a candle light, and that's the only way forward. But if you have one split second where you see that little bit of light going out, then that's the intention of that's it. That's my last little bit of light gone, my last bit of, you know, I would say courage to move on, but also, unfortunately, courage to go and do something and make it that's it, that's, you know, lights out, I'm gone type thing.
Yeah, Leslie, can I come back to you? I think you've a better line now. A permanent solution to a temporary problem is one of the points that this priest has made.
Yes, and I think it's important to, we're talking about, is the person thinking about the people they're leaving behind, those types of things. And I feel that we start veering towards guilt trips. Mm. And I think that the reasons why people do it are very individual and very unique. I have been bereaved by suicide. I lost a cousin 18 months ago in the States, one of my favorite cousins. I understand his reasons behind it. I'm still really sad. I wish he hadn't done it. But it's a tightrope that we're discussing here, because each person will have their own reasons. Reasons in the past that I've heard are, I'm better, if I die, my family will be better off without me. I have nothing to offer. You know, very, very hopeless statements. And the key thing is that these are thoughts. A thought does not always lead to an action. I think that's a really important point to make, because suicidal thoughts do pop up and does not automatically mean that you are suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I'd encourage anybody who's listening who is concerned about having thoughts like this, please reach out. There are a variety of services, whether checking in with your GP, a specialized agency like Pieta House or something like that. There are services available, and I think that's important to know.
Of course it is, and we'll go to the Samaritans and the Pieta helplines as well for anyone. There is always help out there. There's 24-hour helplines available, and that's very important for, and it's our responsibility to put that out there as well. Father Paddy Byrne, Parish Priest of Abbey Leaks, Raheen and Ballinakil is on the line. Do we need to be careful about the language we use? Are we clumsy with our words sometimes, Father?
Good afternoon, and again, this is a very real conversation, and indeed a difficult one, but an important one. Mm. And I think clumsy is something that awkward, or it's a very, very difficult and sensitive one. To be honest with you, in the many years of experience in ministry I've had, and unfortunately way too many funerals where the tragic loss of a life, and again, I think that priest sums it up well, a permanent end to a temporary, perhaps, problem. I think the other caller there, that gentleman, Chris, speaks articulately and with his own experience of feeling in a place of absolute desolation. I don't think we as a society in Ireland particularly must be desensitized to the reality that death by suicide is an all too familiar reality in every community, in every parish, and affects most family lives, be it closely or in the extended circle. And again, in terms of the use of language, when this terrible tragedy visits not just the individual who had to end life, but the family that, as the psychotherapist there mentions, will always carry a different type of grief, and it's a desperate grief. It's a grief that nobody knows unless really you go through it, in terms of the many unanswered questions and that deep pain that remains. And I just think words are inadequate without being cliched. And I think we as a society and we as a culture do grief and bereavement very well. And the essence of solidarity is just to be present. And to, again, you know, this is a difficult month for lots of people. We've just moved into winter time. November is a terrible dark owl month, particularly for elderly people. There's a huge loneliness crisis in Irish society, particularly among elderly people living alone. We know in rural Ireland, the amenities that were once there are no longer. The infrastructure is lacking to engage. And that, you know, again, we always say it, but then we ask, why didn't it happen when this tragic death comes? There are so many people, so many places, so many services available, but it's a real issue in Irish society, is the reality of the consequence of suicide, and not just on the poor individual that died because of this tragic act, reality, but the pain, the vulnerability, and the unanswered, and always will be, why that leaves behind.
Absolutely. And you hear that over and over again, don't you? Especially in tragic circumstances. Can I get your reaction to Tony in Galway's text that's just come in, Father? Sadly, my sister lost her 18-year-old son due to a construction accident. Her son was one of six children and he was the second oldest. At the house, one visitor, whilst giving her sympathy, said, "Sure, you've got plenty more." He meant no harm, but it just shows how often people get the language wrong.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for Tony and for the loss of that lovely 18-year-old. And again, you started off using that clumsiness that, again, my advice, and of course it's not just in relation to bereavement, but in life, sometimes the less we say is the better. And in terms of just being present, and again, you know, you don't have to try and fix the situation with words or indeed with answers, that I think it's perhaps a more pragmatic place to sit in the uncomfortableness of that silence, of that pain, and allow just your presence and your empathy to speak louder than words.
And I think what you're saying in your very delicate way, Father Paddy Byrne, is that Father Mark Quinn, which is the story that we're talking about today, I suppose, in that he doesn't want to say that they're in the right place now. Those words at a funeral are so important. What words do you find yourself using?
Well, again,
the funeral of suicide in particular, Father.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is that it's very challenging. You have a very, very captivated group of people sitting silently, perplexed, wondering, and the silence actually speaks for itself. And I do believe, in terms of the values that I represent and own as a Christian follower of Jesus Christ, and giving that mandate to try and share and break down the gospel in tragic moments like this, I think that when somebody takes their own life, it's a deep moment of despair. It's a horrendous moment of crisis and of letting go in that desperation. But for those who have gone through a loved one who has died by suicide, you know better than I do, your loved one cannot be, and I repeatedly use this language, cannot be defined by just the final moments of darkness. That the light and the love and the positive memory and the friendship and the character and the unique gift of all human life, that always brings love. And I think, you know, Almighty God, the God I believe in, and the God of the gospel, Jesus Christ, you know, his is a heart that reaches out with a fundamental priority to the wounded, to those in despair, to those who have lost meaning and purpose in life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, finally, I've already mentioned November. Traditionally in the Catholic Church, November is the month when we remember loved ones gone before us.
Of course.
And this is a reality that many people, particularly Irish people, visit graves. I live beside a grave. There's not a morning or evening where there's not somebody standing remembering. And
that's important too. I just want to bring Joe in here because he's told the show before about losing your brother, Joe, to suicide in February. What do you make of the priest's comments in general, Father Mark Quinn in particular?
Thanks, Anna, for having me on the show. Look, Adam, my brother, died by suicide back in February. And in trying to come to terms and understanding that over the last few months, we've realised that he had attempted multiple times prior to that in the years previous. I feel what with the priest's words will do nothing to address the stigma around suicide in society. And I think by saying something is not noble, you are inadvertently, indirectly saying that you are judging it. And that has been a problem in Irish society for decades. That those who end their lives by suicide and the families associated with those are then judged.
Up Do you feel recently, that, Joe, honestly?
Yeah, genuinely. Up until recently, people were still saying committed suicide.
It's yes, well, we've changed our language around that, haven't we? Died by suicide rather than committed suicide.
And it's still seen by many people in society as a selfish decision. This is not a selfish decision. Very often, and I can't speak for other people, but yeah. In my own brother's case, he reached out right out to the very end. And we've gone public with that. And he wasn't given any help. And ultimately, he made the very difficult decision to end his life. Something that we are not happy with, me as an individual, mm-hmm. on a selfish basis, I'm not happy with and I wish he was here. But I think when somebody comes to me, and that has been said to us in the weeks and months, he's at peace now. I don't think what they're saying is he's in a better place now than where he was before. I think what they're trying to say is that the person lived a life of trauma. Lived a life of serious mental illness and tried their best at various avenues to look for help. But you see, the issue that's not being addressed here is that society doesn't help those people when they reach out and ultimately they make the very difficult decision to end their lives.
Because that's as you say, Joe, there's thing. Multiple attempts here. So there was opportunities that he should have got help. At various points.
Yeah, 100%.
And I can hear the anger in your voice, Joe.
There is anger, Anna, because when I hear a permanent solution to a temporary problem, what's temporary about living with, you know, trauma from childhood or living with serious mental illness? There's nothing temporary about that. Unfortunately, that trauma and that illness, that defines some people's lives. And due to the lack of decent healthcare, mental healthcare, and the lack of decent psychiatric healthcare in the country, those problems become permanent for people. They don't become a temporary thing. And sadly, their only way out then is to end their lives. I'm not condoning it. By no way, in us speaking out publicly about Adam taking his life, are we saying to other people, you should take your own life? What we instead were pointing out was, this was the last decision he came to after reaching out for help multiple times. But of course, there are other people then who don't, who quietly end their lives and people didn't realise there was anything wrong with them. And yeah. I understand in those situations while somebody saying, oh, they're at peace now, why that can be infuriating. I'm not deeply religious. When you're saying somebody's at peace, it's implying that they somehow are experiencing peace in death. But if you're not religious, they're dead. They're not experiencing anything.
Of course.
So I understand it from that perspective.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss, Joe, and I completely understand. You know, we're trying to understand it rather than judge it. Someone else says loneliness and isolation is an unspoken disease in itself. And another text, don't lose sight of the fact that people can be driven to suicide. We lost our son because he was in a toxic marriage. So many different perspectives on this. We just need to try and understand it, I suppose. Thank you to Leslie Shoemaker, Chris Sherlock for speaking to us as well, and Father Paddy Byrne, and to you indeed, Joe. Thank you very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.